Sector 2, move into position. Units 3 and 4, maintain coverage of Sector 7.
Copy that.
Listen now, Mr. Kansas Law Dog. Law don't go around here. Savvy?
Blood's been spilled to afford us this moment. Now.
Get them up and move them out, boys.
Come with the territory. Ask any cop, he'll tell you. If you can't stand the heat, you better stay out of the kitchen.
I wish I was a kindergarten teacher. But I'm not. I'm a cop. That's all I know how to be.
Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Supernatural Christian Podcast with your host, Bruce B. Len.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us again tonight. This is Jacob Rahutsky. I'm here with our host, Bruce B. Len. This is Supernatural Christian Podcast. Thanks for joining us tonight, Bruce. Thanks for doing this again, man.
Oh, no, man. I enjoy it. It's hilarious being around you on the phone. I've been laughing already.
It's a good time. when I show up, it's a good time, you know? When I show
well,
up
yeah,
on
you
time.
Have to wake up. At least you know what time it is. At least you know you're late. I think last week I couldn't figure out what time it was.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, man, I want to talk for a little while tonight about what's in your hand. And there's two or three times in the Bible that comes up. But I teach at a couple of police academies, and one of the things that we talk about, that I'll come in, I'm the old guy, you know, it's interesting because everybody's trying to be tactical, you know, and that's not tactical, that's tactical. And so I go in there, and I've carried a 1911 for years. And so I go in there, and the first thing that happens is people want to talk about weapons. They want to talk about, you know, how many does that hold, and, you know, what's the knockdown, and it's just kind of interesting the way that the circle just goes around and around with firearms and equipment, and it's just an interesting conversation. I thought I'd bring up a little bit of that tonight if you want to talk about
that. Well, and I, you know what I think is awesome, Bruce, is 1911. That goes along with your birth year. So, I mean, hand in hand, you got the gun,
that hurts my feelings. That hurts my feelings.
Yeah.
That hurts my feelings.
Before we get into the mess of it, what is so awesome, like, what is it about the 1911 that, like, what is it for you that makes it,
well,
like, the gun?
I'm not kidding when I say this. So, it was the first semi-automatic that, pistol that I ever shot. I had a revolver as a kid. My first pistol was a revolver. My granddad gave my dad an old H&R 22 revolver, and we would shoot that. And that was my first shoot. I was like 6 or 7 years old. And, of course, I still love revolvers. But my first automatic, and it's, of course, a semi-automatic, but it's an automatic pistol, was a Colt Gold Cup. I bought it when I was in the military, and the Air Force was still carrying revolvers, which was interesting. Security police, we actually carried 38 special revolvers. But I always wanted one of those 1911s, so I bought it. And it was just amazing to me how well it fits the hand, how well it shoots, how it's just a wonderful platform. And the reason I still carry one is because I shoot the very best with that. And that's kind of what I want to talk about, is that it's way less about the equipment than it is the training and background and abilities that you have with that equipment. I mean, I've worked police shootings. I've not been in one myself, and I thank the Lord for that. But I have also talked to a lot of people who have been in police shootings, and essentially they all say the same thing, is that you need something that you can engage very quickly, very accurately, without thinking, without, you know, it's not something, it's not a, it's more of a reaction than an action. And so that's just the tool that I use the best is a 1911. It's just, it really is. It fits my situation pretty well. Second thing is, you know, literally now, the last two, I think, that I've actually talked to people who were involved in shootings were done with the rifle. And it's it was an AR platform, and everybody talks about the AR this, and this is the best, and this is the best. But here's the bottom line on the AR. I mean, if you have, nowadays, it's more of a surgical situation than we used to carry A70s with buckshot, and that was a, you know, double all buckshot was the way to go. But if you have an AR platform and you'll practice and you'll get good with that, especially with some of the optics and some of the things that are out there today. And I'm talking about police work is what I'm talking about. But it is a very fine tool. And I, of course, have been, I think my first AR was issued to me. It was M16, was in 1976. So I've shot one or two, you know, through the years. And, of course, I use one now. I actually have an AR pistol with optics on it that I carry now. And then, of course, the last thing is the shotgun. It's probably the most under-used police. Like right now, I have a 12-gauge that what I do is it's strictly a less lethal platform. I use it. It's painted a different color so that there's no mistake. And when you pull it out of the trunk or when you get it out of the case or when you get whatever, it's only used for less lethal, for beanbag rounds, and which the people that I know that have used those, the people that I know that train with those, I have never engaged a person with a beanbag round. I have I've been there and been able to do that and been ready to do that, but that's not happened. And but they are very effective with
a beanbag round. Is that like a rubber bullet, essentially?
No, it is a sack of something heavy. I assume
gotcha.
It's lead. I don't know what's in it. Never cut into one. But it's a small sack the size, you know, they come out of a shotgun barrel, but it's enclosed and it has. It's like being hit with a baton. Think of it as a baton round. You shoot somebody, and here's the deal: if they are, it's not for to go against lethal force. If they are presenting lethal force, then it's not the proper platform. But if you're in a position that you would be justified in striking them with a baton, you can strike them with that baton round, I guess is probably the best way to describe it.
And I would imagine that hurt.
I know a friend of mine has been shot with one on purpose, which made me question his intelligence. But I'm dead serious. He got shot on the hind end with one in a training scenario, and I had the opportunity to see his hind end, and it was a deep bruise about the size of a dollar bill laid out there, and he said that it was very, very, very unpleasant.
Wow.
Now, I've been tased,
oh, yeah.
And I said, compare it to getting tased, and he said, well, it just keeps hurting where a taser stops hurting. You know, when you get off the trigger, it's done, mostly, you know, but this thing, he said it hurt for 3 days.
Have you ever had to use, like, a taser or mace or anything like that?
Oh, I've spray, yes. Tasers work well. I have not used a taser. I have been when one was used, if that makes sense. I've been there.
Yeah,
I've not actually pulled the trigger. But I've had good luck with tasers. Pepper spray, and we don't use the word mace anymore. That's an old word. Pepper spray is kind of an amazing thing. I'll go back to a story from the 90s, and I had just gotten a brand new, literally a brand new Stetson hat for Christmas. And this was January. I don't know what year it was, but in the 90s. And we went to a domestic, and then come to find out he was holding her hostage against her will, and we were trying to talk him out of the house. And it's a long, drawn-out thing, but a friend of mine was there, just two of us there. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was in plain clothes. I was actually on my way home. I was working criminal investigation division and was on my way home from another deal. And Paul didn't have any help. And I miss Paul. But so I went there with him, and you're supposed to say pepper spray, you know, before you spray it, you know, or say something, give some kind of warning, okay?
Pepper.
Well, all of a sudden,
yeah.
I hear something. We're going hands-on with this guy, and then all I hear something goes like that, and all of a sudden, I can't breathe, and my eyes are just, you know, and I'm moving out. I'm like, what in the world? I look up there, and he has got this pepper spray just wide open. He's hitting me with it. It's blowing all over the place, and he gets the guy pretty good. He gets the guy pretty good.
But he got you too. Wow.
Oh no, he got. That's why I hate pepper spray. I mean, I hate it, but
well,
it works.
Yeah.
It's good, but
that's what they use on bears, right? I mean,
it's the same.
Similar grade
it's
stuff.
It's the same thing I eat in my hot sauce. It's just broke down.
It's just not good.
Kind of chemicals.
It's not as tasty in the eyes. Yeah.
Right. And so. And here's the deal, Jake. This guy, this is the part I want to get to in this story. He looks at us and says, is that all you've got? And then all of a sudden, this is not a joke, he's been over. Of course, he's been drinking all day. And there is a snot stream from his nose all the way to the ground. I mean, I jumped back like a 13-year-old girl. I was like, oh, my God, I've never seen that much snot in my life. It was not great. I said, hey, buddy, you want to wipe that up? I mean, that's something there. We end up rolling around in the ground and mixing up the snot and the pepper spray and my brand new hat. And yeah, it took the shine off my new hat. But anyway.
And Stetson, I guess that's an expense. Is that like an expensive cowboy hat?
Well, it was for me back then. It's probably $150.
Whew. Yeah.
For now it's not though. I mean, now they're a couple of $100 now, but I mean, my Rand was way more than that, and yeah. Anyway,
basically it's just derived from a mix of peppers, or is it like habanero?
You know, that's a great question. I know it's measured in capstan, but I don't have any idea of what. How they do it or how they make it.
I'm looking it up.
I can tell you
folks.
That it's pepper. Say what?
I said I'm looking it up. It's derived from chili peppers in a chemical process that dissolves and concentrates it into a liquid. So yeah, it's basically chili peppers broken down. Oh, that does not sound like a good time, man, at all.
It is not a good time. And then you get in the car with them. And you get to smell it all the way to the office, and oh, it's yeah. And here's the deal: I have used it many times on animals. Instead of having to shoot a dog, I'd way rather spray the dog and it run off, you know, because that's somebody's pet most of the time. But I've also been bit a couple of times, which kind of makes you a little gutshy. Anyway, yeah, that's but you know, there's all kinds of equipment now. I mean, there are. like out of a shotgun, you can shoot a round that is supposed to penetrate like a window and then let gas loose on the inside, kind of a gas round. They have like a pepper ball round that comes out of a shotgun that hits, and it's like shooting with a 12 gauge full of mace and or pepper spray. There, I use your word again. There you go. But anyway, there's all kind of stuff you can get for a shotgun. There's all kind of stuff. There's equipment. I mean, my idea was to get a drone and somehow put a fogger on it and just drone, you know, so you're chasing somebody, drone them and then fog them with the drone. But I'm not sure that's legal, but I guess
it's probably coming before too long, man. They're going to use drones for everything before it's all said and done.
Well,
that doesn't sound like a bad idea. What's that?
Well, I've actually enjoyed drone footage before you do a search warrant. You know, either satellite or drone footage, and make sure that you can see what's going on, you know, there. And I don't mean like live time. With a drone, you could do it live time, but with, you know, a satellite, I remember the first search warrant, I mean, it's been 10, 12 years ago now, that we pulled up, and before we sent the team in, you know, we were able to look at the satellite footage, and actually the guy had a laptop there, and we were saying, well, what's that? Yeah, there's a house there, there's something behind that. Technology is a good thing, but it'll get you in trouble if you get too dependent upon it.
I just saw a device last night when I was it was Facebook or YouTube or something, and I saw a police device that was engaged where a cop, basically there was a cop in front of a guy trying to slow him down. Cop pulls up behind the guy, hits his bumper, and this cable like attaches to his bumper, and he's actually slowing the guy down with the cable. And I forgot what they call it. You know what I'm talking about? Have you seen that?
There's about three versions of that kind of stuff out there. And here's the situation. Here's why those are going to be popular. People have no regard for the public anymore. I mean, people have always run from the police, you know, but now people just drive like maniacs. To get away. They don't care about who they run over, who they hit. And it kind of puts us in a bad situation, because when you've got a felon, a dangerous felon, somebody that's going to, you know, go from there and hurt somebody else, you're chasing them, but you're causing, you know, it's very, if you're not careful, you're causing or perpetuating a problem by them running 90, 100 miles an hour and the wheels coming off, and it's just stuff all the time. So you've got that whole cable deal. Then you've got the GPS device that they can fire. Somehow it shoots and sticks to the car. Then they back up and they have a GPS tracker that just tracks the car. There's all kind of good stuff out there. There really is.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. That's the first time I'd ever seen that. I'm seeing another one right now where a device engages the tire and basically cripples like the left rear or the right rear tire and shuts it down completely. It's called a grappler. So
that would be a great once. You have to go to training, I'm sure, and learn how to use it. But that's where spike strips came from, and unfortunately, they're pretty hard to get out in front of people, people get run over probably every year trying to throw spike strips. And so I mean in the United States, I don't mean, you know, around here necessarily.
I gotcha. Yeah, that's really interesting, man. So what's in your hand? If it's pepper spray, obviously that's a tool that can be utilized. It sounds like those non-lethal rounds are really effective too, and then the old 1911 is definitely going to stop somebody in their tracks. I was reading that the 1911 was used up until like 1985. That is a long track record for firearm. And I mean, it's still widely popular, but it was replaced by the 9mm 9mm Beretta in like 85. That's a long run for a gun.
That's a very long run for a gun. And here's the deal. They sell them every day now. It's a fantastic platform. Once you're trained on it, it's not a novice's gun, because there's some things about it you need to know and some things you need to be able to do, especially if your life is depending on it. You need to shoot, if you're used to something else, you need to shoot hundreds of rounds through it. That's my opinion.
Okay? To get the handle of it,
because it's a different platform. But there was the Colt. Essentially, you have a Colt, what I'm going to call a cowboy pistol. You like the 1873, and it's a you have to pull back the hammer, and pull the trigger, and pull back the hammer. It's a revolver, and it had six holes in it, but they normally carried five because they had it the hammer down on an empty chamber, because if something hit the hammer or it dropped it or something, it would go off if it was under a live round. Well. So this is the gun, essentially. Now, they had some double-action revolvers after that, prior to this. But this is kind of the gun, to me, that lawmen began to carry after the Colt, the 1873 Colt, the peacemaker, if you want to call it that. That was another word for it. But then Smith & Wesson came out with a double-action revolver that was also very popular. So that would be the two, to me, the two proverbial. And then Colt then came out with a double. They had the police positive and, some of that stuff. So,
Go ahead. No, I was just saying, I think another interesting trait of it is that it seems so slender in comparison with some of the other models.
Well, and part of it is because it only holds, if you have an 8-round magazine, you've got 9 with one in the chamber. If you've got a 7-round magazine, you've got 7 plus 1 is 8. I'm having to do math here. I've taken my shoes off. But
so the bullets aren't stacked, they're not staggered side to side in the magazine? It's like a straight flush deal? Okay, so that's how you're able to have a more compressed...
Right, and it's slimmer, and of course a Glock is say if you talk about modern police work, Glock changed all that. I was actually teaching in the Arkansas Law Enforcement Academy in 1990 to 1992, and they actually brought in. One or two of all the Glocks back in those days, and just dropped them off with us. The distributor did, and we shot them. And again, I was a 1911 guy, and I grabbed a hold of that thing, and I felt like it was the fattest, But people who like Glocks, people who shoot Glocks well, they're a great firearm. I have nothing to say bad about Glocks at all. I mean, they're very utilitarian looking. They're thick, but you've got 17 rounds of 9mm, of course, the larger calibers, it gets less. But they're stacked, pretty thick magazines. But they have, of course, Smith & Wesson makes a great striker fired, which is their M&P model. Which comes in 9.45, but again, I love all those guns. There's nothing wrong with any of them. My pick.
It seems like to me the 1911 with its magazine capacity is definitely a great amount of ammo that you would need as an officer. And if you need more than that, then there's probably one or two scenarios: either you're a really bad shot, or you're in a serious firefight that probably calls for some sort of rifle or something with a higher magazine capacity, right?
Well, and I don't know the latest statistics, but essentially when we train, this that it's going to happen very fast. It's going to be in about 2 seconds and about 2 meters, and it's going to be about 2.5 rounds fired. So, yeah. I mean, and see, there are shootouts where there are I mean, literally, you know, magazines emptied and reloaded and all that. And that does happen. And but that's the minority. That's the vast
right.
minority. And yeah. And but here's the deal: firearm is or handgun is for short range, quick work, and I just prefer the 1911. That's what I shoot the best. I mean, there's nothing magic about it. It has to do with practice. You know, I mean, that's essentially what it is.
Nice. Now, can you put two through the same hole?
Well, sure. I just have to
okay.
stand really close.
like 5 inches.
Not that complicated.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you
no,
know.
I've shot a little bit. My brother had a Colt. Or no, it was a Smith & Wesson, but it was a polycarbonate 9mm. And it just,
uh-huh.
for whatever reason, the weight was off with that when you get into the synthetics. And it just seemed like a little more unbalanced. I shot another 9mm that was not synthetic. And, man, it was tons easier to shoot. It's like the weight of the weapon seemed to help quite a bit with staying on target.
Well, and here's the deal. That's exactly kind of the point of the way I train. I mean, don't look for something cool and want to carry that. Don't try to be tactical. You know, find what works for you. Right now I know, and I won't call any names, but I know a guy who carries his father's Highway Patrol pistol, which was a 357. And he has not outgunned in any way. He's carrying a 4-inch revolver. He's got 6 rounds. He's got probably 2 speed loaders. He's got, you know, a total of 18 rounds. And listen, that's a formidable weapon. And if you can hit with that gun, if that's the gun you hit with, then that's what you need to carry. Now, as an administrator, on the other hand, you kind of have to be careful, make sure people qualify with what they carry. They actually qualify with the firearm that they do carry. So, I mean, but being tactical is not nearly as important as being ready to use whatever you decide to carry.
Yeah, I get it totally, man. That's very interesting.
Well, let me throw this in. And when you start talking about what's in your hand, I remember specifically, and the way I came to this conclusion was through pain. It was not through any kind of intellect. But I remember specifically trying to go into the ministry, trying to fulfill what God had called me to do as a lay minister, as a speaker, and trying to be like everybody else, trying so hard. Because I thought that's what I had to do, and people had told me that. So, well, you know what you need to do. Your appearance is very important. You know, make sure you know you wear your hair like this. Make sure you have a suit. Make sure. And don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Okay, if that's who you are. If you're, I mean, my dad wore a suit every day of his life. My dad was a school administrator. He was a pastor. He wore a suit every day of his life. Well, I'm really not a suit guy, and I've worn a uniform most of my life. And when I'm not wearing a uniform, I've got the whole lumberjack thing going on.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say, is we know that you're into flannel. I mean, give him a flannel shirt and an axe, and I mean, you got a brawny
and I could make a
right
brawny
there.
Commercial, and I could make a
Pretty
brawny
much.
Commercial, is that what you're trying to say? But anyway,
Absolutely.
the point being is I quit at some point along the way trying to do ministry the way everybody else did it. I quit, and I began to think about the people in the Bible, kind of to make my point for tonight. And, you know, the first one that I think of is David. You know, David literally is my go-to guy because I've studied and studied and studied and studied and prayed and studied and studied the life of David. And here's the deal. They tried very hard. David is about to go into the first big battle of his life. he is about to go against a formidable opponent. You've got this Goliath, and the stakes are high. Everything's going on, and immediately what they try to do is try to make him fight like everybody else fights. Okay, wear my helmet, wear my suit of armor, wear this, what that. And he put it all on. But here's the deal. He was not comfortable doing that. It's not that he was too good to do that or wasn't good enough to do that. That just wasn't his gear. It wasn't his gear. And he ends up going out there against a giant with the thing that he had used against the lion, the thing he had used against the bear, the thing he had been carrying his whole shepherd career was a slingshot. And it's a sling. I mean, it's different than, you know, one of our little pea shooters. It's a piece of leather on two ends of leather, and you can sling that thing, and, you know, evidently it's got a pretty good zip when it comes out. But I've never known how to do anything like that. So I just tell you what a little bit I understand about it. But that's what he used, and God used exactly what he had done his whole life, what he was comfortable with, what he was able to do, and God used that for great victories. And I just want to encourage people to not try to do, I mean, don't get me wrong, we want to be theologically, you know, I stay theologically right in the middle. I don't want to get in the ditches. Okay. But here's the deal, because I'm not that great of a driver anyway. But here's the deal. Literally, God has released, I believe, his people to be who they are and where they are and what they have in their hand and to use that. If you're a guy that's in the marketplace, be in the marketplace. If you're a guy that's, you know, a carpenter, be a carpenter. If you're a guy that's a cop, if you're, you know, if you're an attorney, whatever you are, be God's man, God's woman there. Be who you are. You don't have to dress up and put on a show. I love the story of Samson, and man, you're talking about a dysfunctional family, dude. They are. I love it. I love it, man. It makes me feel better about myself. But Samson is in a situation. I think it's Judges. I think it's 15. Judges 15, and they're trying to take him prisoner. And 3,000 men came down there and went to get him. And essentially, I'm in the wrong verse here. He says, since you acted like this, I swear I won't stop until I get my revenge. And he attacks him viciously and slaughtered. He literally found the jawbone of a donkey and started getting it. That's what he found in his hand. That's what he found to use. And, you know, if it's a podcast, if it's a Facebook Live, if you're a writer, use what you have in your hand. Of course, then the famous one is Moses in Exodus 4. Moses is sitting there at the bush, and God asks him, what's in your hand? And he says, a staff. And I'll tell you, man, that staff, literally, of course, he, you know, it becomes a serpent and he picks it up and all that stuff happens there. But that staff was not just a stick. When it was in the hands of Moses and with his faith in God, when he raised that thing, the water came back. When he raised that thing, I mean, things happened, okay? And it was the anointing of God. It wasn't some kind of magic stick. It was in obedience to God using what he had in his hand. And that's, Jake, that's what I depend on. That's literally what I depend on, is that God will do through me, with me, with using this redneck, you know. I mean, that's what I depend on, is I just use what's in my hand, and then I depend on God for the rest.
Well, I tell you what, I'm looking at a donkey's jawbone right now, and it does not look like it would be a friendly thing to get hit with.
kind of like a tomahawk?
Yeah. Dude, that's brutal, man. And 3,000 people, like, yeah, he obviously had just, he had the anointing on his life to just slaughter. And I think, I mean, here's my opinion on it. The reason why did they make such a big deal about how, where does this guy's power come from? I do not believe that he was a big, strong, muscle man, giant character. I think he was just your average-sized man. Otherwise, why would they be asking, like, what, where does, if he had been like Hercules or the Hulk or something like that, you could easily just say, well, look at him. Look at his muscles. I mean, that's obviously where the power is coming from. So I think that, I think he was probably just your average-sized guy. And when the power of God came on him, he was just lethal. And that's why they were like, you know, where in the world does this guy's power come from?
Right. It was but 1,000 men. I'm looking at it right now. Misquoted that. Yeah. But I don't think it makes any difference. And here's the deal, man. People are always talking about gun control. People are always talking about, you know, I think it was in 14 or 15 that 10 Chinese terrorists got on a train and I think wounded, I don't know, 36, killed like 12, wounded like 36 people. And it was all done with knives. It was all done with knives.
Yeah.
No, had no firearms, you know. And, I mean, there have been people killing people with hatchets. And I call them hatchets, but, you know, tomahawks essentially was a rock hatchet, you know, or a flint, a flint hatchet. I mean, there's been people killing people with stuff for many, many years before there was gunpowder. So.
Doing a quick check on the head, see if there's anything inside the melon. Yeah. that's what they were doing.
We're gonna check
what's in
you.
There.
We're gonna check you just for a second. We're gonna just check.
Yeah,
you
no,
just
I saw a thing on Facebook the other night that was pretty funny. It was a meme and it said, you know, before guns, people, you know, not near as many people killed each other or something along those lines. And it showed this knight up on a horse. And he's just literally just plowing this guy through with a spear. I mean, he's gone through his back. Entrails are flying through the air. I mean, it's just the most gruesome. And I'm like, yeah. It's like, that's a pretty good point. I mean, David's mighty men slayed. Go ahead.
No, that's just the truth, man. Warfare, I mean, you go all the way back to Adam and Eve. And then they had, you know, of course, had two kids. And you've got Cain, you know, warring on Abel, killing him. I mean, it's warfare goes back to it's I'm not, this is not about gun control or non-gun control. All this is about is just knowing that it's going to, you cannot legislate someone to have their head together. I mean, you really can't. And it's, people have been killing with using all kind of devices for many, many years. And it's gotten very controversial. But the point is that we need God's nature, which God is the Savior. He's one who saves and rescues. And don't get me wrong. I mean, you can read the Bible, and it would be a lot of it would be R-rated for violence. You know,
there's violence in the Bible, Bruce.
Once or twice.
Shocked.
I've told you that story, hadn't I, about the guy that showed up to my church years ago, and he was there a couple of Sundays, and we're standing there at one, I'm, you know, shaking his hand, it's over, he's walking out, somebody said something about a case or something, and he found out that I was a policeman, and he said, well, you can't be a policeman and be a pastor. And I go, oh, why? He said, well, you know, you carry a gun and, you know, you do all this stuff. And he began to give him all this stuff. And I'm just standing there looking at him, you know, like a goat at a new gate because I was, like, confused. And I said, well, you know, I said, do you read the Bible? I mean, I was serious. I wasn't trying to be ugly. He said, well, yeah, I read the Bible. I said, well, so when, I'll just give you one little song, Saul has killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s. So David couldn't be the king or couldn't represent God or couldn't worship God or couldn't write psalms or couldn't initiate music to the Lord or couldn't offer sacrifices because he was keeping the peace. Well, he didn't come back. Nah, it didn't matter. It's all right.
Well, I will say this. David killed so many people that God was like, yeah, I want somebody a little less bloody to build my temple.
That's
I mean,
true.
He did kill a lot of people. I mean, dude, if you read the story of David, like, he freaking threw down all the time. He was not a guy to mess with at all.
Okay, let me tell you who was worse than David. It was Joab. That was one of that was one of David's mighty men, and he had one answer for everything. That guy's bothering me. Kill him. Immediately kill him. That was his answer for everything.
Well, you know, the other thing,
Joab, this guy has bad breath. He needs to be killed immediately. Might spread.
Dude, we need to do a show sometime about David's mighty men, because I'm telling you, you want to talk about some fascinating stories. The Bible goes into details on these guys, and it sounds like Marvel Comics. It really does.
Oh, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, man.
But what I was going to tell you is another thing you could have come back with that guy as well, and this is interesting, is in Jesus' day, the equivalent of an AR-15 or M-16 or like your latest flashiest rifle was the Roman sword. And Jesus told his disciples to carry a sword with them, and by Roman law, they were not allowed to have a sword.
Really?
That's interesting. Yeah, the Jews were not allowed to carry a sword. So, for whatever reason, Jesus told his disciples to carry a sword with them. Now, you could argue what the reasoning is for that, but it wasn't for looks, I don't think. So,
right.
And then Peter sliced some people's ears off with it. I mean, that's also a complication. He had to know that was coming. He's like, I tell you what, right. I'm going to give you guys these swords. One of you is going to cut somebody's ear off, but that's okay. Other than that, we're going to be all right, you know? But anyways.
Well, and here's the deal. You know, nothing is inherently bad itself. I mean, there's
right, guns don't kill people. I do.
Bass Pro has a wonderful museum.
Amazing, yeah.
The gun museum. And, by the way, some beautiful 1911s, not that I care, but anyway. But the point being is there's nobody ever been killed in that room. I mean, literally, nobody's ever been killed. There's hundreds of guns in that room, and they're beautiful, and they're, you know, they're showpieces. And the bottom line is none of them have snuck out at night and taken anybody's lives. It's the depravity. It's the depravity of man. You know, it's a man problem. It's not a. But anyway, well, man, I don't want to keep you up all night. I just I wanted to talk about that, and you know, if anybody wants to contact me.
No, I think it was really interesting. I had a good time. I think the folks learned something here. We learned how to effectively use a jawbone to correct some business.
Well, we can. If you need to take care of business. I have 9.7% indigenous American, so I've got a couple of tomahawks also. But anyway, I just want to tell you, if anybody has a prayer request or you know wants to get me a message, Bruce Kim Beelin at Facebook, BELIN, oldlawdog.com, Facebook, Crane Christian Church and Community Building Facebook. We do live streams on Sunday morning, usually, when we get our technical people out of bed. But anyway, it's been fun talking to you.
Well, why don't you take us out with prayer, Bruce? And, guys, thanks for joining us again this week.
Father, I thank you so much for your grace. Because, Lord, it's by your grace that I come to you tonight, Lord. It's not by my righteousness. It's by your love and grace and forgiveness. And, Lord, actually by your very blood. That's what it cost for me to be okay. It was your death. And I thank you for that, God. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless anybody tonight, Lord, that's listening. is looking for you. Because, Lord, there's nothing better to find than to you. To find you, Lord. To abide in your presence. Help us, O God. And, Lord, during this time of so much fear, Lord, let us depend upon you, not upon our tacticalness, but to depend upon you. Because, Lord, you are my hope, my help, and my home. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll see you next week. God bless.
Good night.